and welcome to another broadcast. We are talking about keeping the apostasy out of our churches. Stay tuned. Obvious as you look into the Word of God that God's program for this hour in which we are living is the local church. We've pushed the churches into the background and we've brought our fundamental independent Baptist movement to the foreground, and that was a major mistake. God's program, God's purpose is the local church. There's no scriptures whatsoever that support any kind of a movement. Now, the movement, for the most part, is heading down the road to apostasy, and what we want to be able to do is keep that apostasy from flooding into our churches and keep that apostasy from flooding into our homes. And so the purpose of this broadcast is to be an encouragement to the faithful Christian, to the remnant. And by the way, God has always had a remnant. We've mentioned this before. Noah built an ark and only 8 people got on it. That's a pretty small remnant. In Isaiah's day, he said, had we not had a remnant, we should have, a very small remnant, he said, we should have been as Sodom, should have been as Gomorrah. When Jesus came into this world, when he was born in Bethlehem, who was involved in that? A few shepherds and a couple of people in the temple knew what was going on. Some wise men came from afar, and for the most part, just a very small remnant. And the same thing is true today. The Bible tells us in Romans that we also have a remnant. There's also always going to be a small group of people who are going to stand true to the Word of God, and our purpose is to encourage those people. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 2, it is required that we be found faithful, and in this age of apostasy, we need to just simply be faithful, and being faithful, we want to keep the apostasy from flooding into our churches. Well, what is the greatest danger that faces us today as far as our local churches are concerned? Well, Matthew 24, Jesus made it pretty plain. They talked to him and they said, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus said in verse 4 of Matthew 24, take heed that no man deceive you. The big thing, the great danger for today is that of deception. In verse 5, you have the word many twice. Many, many. He said, many shall come in my name and shall deceive many. That is what's going on today. Again, in verse 11, you have the same thing. The word many, many is used twice. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. So let's not be taken off guard. The Bible tells us very plainly that at the end of the age, many false prophets are going to come and many, many Christians are going to be deceived. Romans 16 and verse number 18 says, by good works and fair speeches, they will deceive the hearts of the simple. By good words. Well, those good words, those fancy words that they're going to use in verse 17, it says they are contrary to the doctrine which we have learned. Ephesians 4 and 14 says they lie in wait to deceive, to deceive. So in this age of deception, where does God place the responsibility? Well, first of all, he places the responsibility with fathers. He said in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, and ye fathers, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Then he places also the responsibility in our churches on the pastor, and he said that we are to preach all the counsel of God. Our problem today, and the reason that there's so much of the apostasy flooding into our churches, is not what's being preached, it's but what is not being preached. It says we are to preach all the counsel of God. And so we look in this age in which we're living, and one of the major issues and one of the main reasons that apostasy is flooding in is we fundamental independent Baptists, by the name of Jack Hiles, and then supported by the sword of the Lord, changed the plan of salvation and said, we don't need to repent. And so, and there's not very many pastors that are going to come out and say anything negative about Jack Hiles or the sword of the Lord. Are you listening? They changed the plan of salvation. The Bible says, and Jesus said it, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You know what that means? It means if you don't repent, you're going to hell. Now, we let our fundamental movement, we let them change God's plan of salvation. That is wicked. But here's something even more wicked. Pastors are strangely silent about this. Oh, we don't want to say anything against the sword. Let's just keep ordering that thing, and let's just keep feeding our people. Now, it might be 99% good what you get in the sword, but how much poison do you need in a cake in order to put you in the grave? The Bible is very plain about the plan of salvation. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. It was not the evangelicals who changed the plan of salvation. It was those who were spearheading the fundamental Baptist movement. Those are the ones who changed the salvation plan. Another big area we have today, it's very important, is the issue of separation. And our pastors, for the most part, are strangely silent about that too. Let's just not say anything that might chase somebody away and we won't be able to pay the mortgage. No, let's just preach the truth about salvation. Let's just preach the truth about separation, because we haven't been preaching the truth. Apostasy has flooded the movement and is now flooding into our churches. The average fundamental independent Baptist church, they have an order of service, and what is happening in our services? Entertainment has replaced edification. Now, it's good entertainment, it's really good stuff, it's nice, you know, we have specials, and they get up there, and they sing a nice song, I hope it's a nice song, some of them are singing raunchy CCM junk, but for even the good songs, you know, we got the specials, and what is the result of that? Well, what we're doing is, what is entertainment? Entertainment is providing enjoyment. Oh, I really like that nice song about Jesus. And 95% of the people sit in their very comfortable pews and do nothing at all from one Sunday to the next for the cause of Jesus Christ. They're just being provided with some really, really good entertainment. The drunks go to the beverage room and they get drunk and they have wicked entertainment. And Christians, we go to church, we have nice entertainment. Nevertheless, entertainment has replaced edification. What we need is to edify, to teach the whole counsel of God. And as I said, our problem is not what we're preaching, it is what we are not preaching. The greatest danger that faces our churches today is not from without. Our greatest danger is from within. The greatest danger that faces our homes today is not from without, it's from within. In our homes, the Bible's very plain. Angie, fathers, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now we're going to just reject that responsibility. The plain scriptures are there in the churches, the pastor. You are to preach the whole counsel of God. No, we're not going to do that. If I go get talking about some of this stuff like standards and how people should dress and where they should go and where they shouldn't go, like we all used to preach 50 years ago, oh, that's not going to build the church. You're not there to build numerically. We're there to build spiritually. Edification is God's purpose for the local church. And so the great danger is deception. Great deception today. The Bible says that's going to happen at the end of the time. Well, you say the problem is from within. Isn't deception from without? Yes, it is. But the problem is not new. There's been deception without for years and years and years since the beginning of time. Jesus said in the end of time, the sign of the end of the age is that deception is going to be coming into our churches. He said, take heed. That phrase is in the Bible 55 times. Take heed, Jesus said in Matthew 24, that no man deceive you. Jesus said, beware. 5 times in Matthew, twice in Mark, 3 times in Luke. Jesus said, beware. You get into Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 2, and 3 times in that one little verse it says beware, beware, beware. Colossians 2 and 8 says beware lest any man spoil you. 2 Peter 3:17, beware that you're not led away from your own steadfastness, he said. And so if I am going to be deceived, it's my fault. If I'm going to be deceived, it's because I'm ignorant. All we need to do is pray the prayer that the psalmist prayed in Psalm 86 and 11 that says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth." Now, if I am teachable, I will walk in his truth. I will not be deceived. What about the promise from Jesus in John chapter 16, verse number 13, that says the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth? If I'm going to be deceived, it's not God's fault, it's my fault. What about the prayer in Psalm 119 and verse 60 where the psalmist said, "I thought on my ways and turned." I thought on my ways. Oh, I'm being deceived. I think I will turn. What about the promise in Proverbs 28 and verse 5 that says, "They that seek the Lord understand all things." I don't need to be deceived. The only reason I would be deceived is I'm not seeking the Lord about what he wants me to do about an issue such as separation, an issue such as salvation, an issue such as the music issue, and all the other issues that we are facing today. "They that seek the Lord shall understand all things." He will lead you, the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. What part of that is too difficult to understand? What about the promise in John chapter 8 and verse number 31 that says, "Continue in my word and ye shall know the truth." You'll know the truth. You'll know who the deceivers are if we're in the word. Well, God has a little book just before the book of Revelation. It's called the book of Jude. And for the first three quarters of that chapter, there's only one chapter in that book, he's talking about being deceived. The whole thing about apostasy there, you could sum it all up under that one word, being deceived. But you get down to verse 20 and it says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." And he goes down and he says, "Now, but ye," there is no need whatsoever for us to be deceived. He warned us about it. He said, "Many will be deceived," but that doesn't mean to say you have to be. Well, how can I keep from being deceived? It's very simple. He says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith," on what you believe. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 32, "The word of his grace, which is able to build you up." Paul said that. Who did he say that to? He was talking to pastors. The word of his grace is able to build you up. Let's get in the Word. Let the Word get into us, and there's no need whatsoever to be deceived by anybody.